In central Sweden, there is a lake where something has been reported for centuries. A long form beneath the surface, movement where there should be none, and witnesses who leave with no clear explanation. Welcome to the Ominous Archives. What's going on, archive members? I am Nick.
And I'm Em.
And I will say that we've had to adjust recording schedules.
Yes.
Due to a few things here and there, as far as baby decided to change nap schedules and all this other stuff. So I'm semi-delirious. Yeah. I am probably three coffees deep to survive to get this done. And then I'll go on, 4 hours of sleep to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah, it checks out. I've had about a coffee and a Red Bull, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty
all
much
the energy.
I feel like it's how most podcasters, until, they can, switch over to where it's, that's their main stream of income
mm-hmm.
kind of thing, are. They just survive off of, all that. Or maybe we just don't do it right. I don't know.
We're just rolling.
But before we get way further off topic.
Yes.
Tonight's episode sits kind of in a weird space because everything we're about to talk about, it's documented, it's recorded, but somehow after centuries, we still don't have an answer.
Yeah, this is one of those cases where it's not one blurry photo in a Reddit thread. This thing has history, real traceable history.
Exactly. And today, we're going to be heading to central Sweden, to a place that's been quietly holding on to one of Europe's most persistent cryptid legends. Before we get any further, this is your disclaimer that this is going to be a rough one for pronunciation. We're going to do our best.
We're
trying our best. Change it to just the cryptid or the figure or something, so we're not just continuously
butchering
it in your guys' ear.
We are not Swedish.
But this takes place in Lake Strusen, and the creature is known as the Strusen Ud Udren. So that's kind of where we're going to be headed. So if we change it up,
Bear with us, please.
Yeah.
So, let's ground this first. Where are we?
Lake Strusen is in Jämtland, central Sweden. It's one of the largest lakes in the country. It's about 300 feet deep, and it has a massive island right in the middle of it called Frusen.
Which already feels like prime cryptid real estate. Big lake, deep water, island in the center. Yeah, I don't doubt that something's living there.
Right? And visually, it's actually really calm. Forested shorelines, open water, nothing about it immediately feels threatening. But for centuries, people have reported something in that lake.
And not just recently, either.
Oh, no. This goes back all the way back to 1635.
That's insane.
Yeah, but here's the catch. That first reference doesn't describe a sighting. It just confirms that the idea of a creature already existed.
So by the time it's written down, it's already old news.
Yeah, now by the 1800s, things take a shift. We start getting actual sightings.
So now we're moving from folklore into someone definitely saw something.
Exactly. We have fishermen, travelers, people on the water starting to describe movement that doesn't match any known animal. And over time, those descriptions start lining up.
Can I take a guess?
Sure.
Does it have a really long body?
Yeah. Long body, multiple humps. Something moving with intention.
The classic, that is definitely not just Waves' description. I feel like we're coming to this a lot in this lake monster
You're
series.
Right on. And then in 1894, someone decides, hey, let's try to catch it.
Why would we ever try to do that?
Yeah, I don't know. But they set up a trap using huge scissors and bait it with an entire pig.
Which sounds like the least scientific method I think I've ever heard.
In case you're wondering, it did not work.
I'm shocked.
But it was actually a serious effort. It was locally supported, and it was possibly even tied to national interest.
And still, nothing.
Nope.
Yep.
No evidence, no capture, just another dead end.
So, does it just fade out after this?
No, not at all. The sightings continue through the 1900s. The photography now comes in, then video, but still, nothing ever gets confirmed.
So, we're stacking evidence that never actually becomes evidence.
Yep, right again. But here's where it kind of gets weird. In 1986... the creature is granted protected status.
Legally?
Yes, protected. Including its potential offspring and habitat.
Yeah, that's wild. So something that might not exist is protected by law.
Up until 2005, when they removed that protection due to the lack of evidence.
It's an interesting timeline.
Yeah, it kind of is, you know. They protect it for a few years or a while. Yeah, a long time. And then all of a sudden decided to remove it for lack of evidence. But even today, there are sonar scans and modern investigations, and they still haven't confirmed anything.
So what's the actual story behind this thing?
So the story comes from a 1635 account by a vicar named Morgans Peterson. According to him, the creature was created by trolls. There were two trolls, Yata and Kata, and they stand by the lake brewing something in cauldrons for years. And eventually, something comes out. So the story actually goes like this. A long, long time ago, two trolls, Yata and Kata, stood on the shores of the Great Lake brewing a concoction in their cauldrons. They brewed, mixed, and added to the liquid for days, weeks, and years. They knew not what would result from their brew, but they wondered greatly about it. One evening, a strange sound was heard from one of their cauldrons. There was wailing, groaning, and crying. Then suddenly, a loud bang. A strange animal with a black serpentine body and a cat-like head jumped out of the cauldron and disappeared into the lake. The monster enjoyed living in the lake, grew to an unbelievable size, and awakened terror among the people whenever it appeared. Finally, it extended all the way around the island of Frushen and could even bite its own tail. Ketil Runesik bound the mighty monster with a strong spell, which was carved into the stone and raised on the island of Frosin. The serpent was pictured on the stone. Thus was the spell to be tied till the day someone came who could read and understand the inscription on the stone.
So how do we go from that to modern sightings?
So over time, the lore and the sightings all start blending. The creature becomes more defined, the long body, the multiple humps, and a visible head.
but still inconsistent.
Yeah. Some say snake-like. Others say absolutely not. So it exists in two spaces. There's the supernatural and then the physical. All at the same time.
So at some point, this stops just being a mystery, right?
Yeah, it becomes part of the region's identity. It's used in tourism, branding, hey, storytelling.
So even if it's not real, it's real to the culture.
Exactly. There have been over 500 reported sightings.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And people have been collecting them. An antiquarian named Ollie Mattson has gone through the archives and modern reports and found consistent patterns.
Like?
It's about 10 to 16 feet long, the dark body, little head.
So what about modern proof attempts?
Well, in 2008, filmmakers claim that they captured it on infrared. The image shows something warmer than the surrounding water.
Well, this sounds promising.
But it wasn't confirmed.
And of course it wasn't.
So now we have to talk about the lake itself. Because visually, it's kind of tricky.
Meaning?
Dark water, reflections, mist, shift light, all of that can distort what you're seeing.
So waves end up looking like humps.
Pretty much. Logs can look like moving animals, and beneath the surface, you can't really see much at all.
So the environment basically creates perfect conditions for misinterpretation.
Yeah, most sightings follow that same structure. Something moves, it doesn't make sense, and then it's gone.
Short, unclear, unconfirmed.
Yep. Yeah. But then there are the exceptions.
This is the long encounter, right?
Yeah. The Rain Sisters. I think I said that right. They saw it apparently for hours.
Hours is wild.
Yeah, at first they thought it was a boat. But as it got closer, that stopped making sense. So then they approached it. Why not? They even threw stones at it.
Yeah, that's a bold thing to do. I don't know if I would have thrown stones at it.
Like that dude in Hawaii was throwing the thing at seals.
Yeah.
Idiot. Yeah, so the creature reacted. Apparently its eyes moving, its mouth, its tongue, all described as threatening.
Yeah, well, that's way more of an interaction than most sightings.
And then their description? They say it was 3 meters long, gray skin like an elephant, a little head with a wide back, but it was not snake-like. So then, in 1977, we get 2 sightings in one day.
Hmm. Same person?
Actually, yeah. First, it was from a distance. It looked like an overturned vehicle. Later, the sighting was closer. This was 2 visible sections of a body moving in a straight line.
Not drifting?
No, apparently it was like a controlled movement. It was dark, smooth surface, kind of like a whale. And at that point, there were multiple witnesses.
So now we are into the internet era.
Yep. Sonar discussions, speculation, no confirmation. But the story keeps growing. There are even observation points around the lake where the sightings are reported more often. Which pretty much puts us at the same spot after all this time. The reports have continued for centuries without producing a single verified specimen or definitive explanation. The lake has been studied, observed, and revisited, and yet the same pattern persists. Something is seen, it cannot be confirmed, and it is never fully explained. The origin exists in folklore, the sightings exist in testimony, and the evidence remains absent. The legend likely began as a way to explain the unknown shaped by the landscape where visibility is limited and perception is easily distorted. Over time, the explanation changed, but the experience did not. The story persists because it is repeated, embedded in the region, and because no conclusion has ever fully closed the question. What remains is the location, the repetition of accounts, and the possibility that not everything observed can be easily identified. We would like to give credit to Sam, who wrote this episode and did majority of the research for us. And if you have an interest in any horror, thriller, or like a dark fantasy style book, you can check out her podcast or blog. It's Scare Me Sam. And then you can find us at any of our The Ominous Archive social medias. So give us a follow, a share, a comment, and stay up to date for our latest episodes. And with all that being said, I am going to try to go to bed. So, stay weird and stay haunted. See ya.
See ya.